Hey folks, it's James Cooper with Free Indeed Prison Ministry, preaching the truth of the gospel that Jesus said would make the believer free. This is a message that has been lost for a very long time in the modern church, and therefore the reality that goes with the message has been lost. When Jesus said the truth will make you free, it is that truth that must be preached and believed to have the reality of that freedom from sin, that being saved from sin. That's what salvation is. That's what Christ was sent to do, to save his people from their sin. And that word saved means rescued and delivered. Do you know most of the people today that I talk to in the prisons, most of them will say, man, I'm saved, but I'm still a sinner. And I ask them, then what are you saved from? And their answer is usually, well, I'm saved from hell. Okay, saved means rescued and delivered. And there has to be a from. You have to be rescued from something. But not one scripture in the Bible does it talk about Jesus came to save his people from hell. But it's always from sin. And God makes it so clear over and over and over in the scriptures that there is absolutely, positively no sin going to enter the new heavens and the new earth. It is not going to happen. There will be no exceptions. And Jesus spoke to many who said that they had done many wonderful works in his name. They had prophesied in his name. They'd cast out devils and done many wonderful works in his name. And he said, there will be many that he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There is no sin going to enter the new heavens and the new earth. There is no such thing as saved from hell if sin remains in the heart. There is no such thing. God does not offer any such salvation. And it is a shame that in this day that we're living in, we are in the last generation, the last days of the last generation. It is such a shame that the widespread deception has deceived multitudes worldwide. Satan is very good at what he does. He is the father of the lie, the master of deception. And he has deceived the whole world, just like it says in Revelation chapter 12. He's had 2,000 years to work at it, and he has deceived the whole world just before the return of Jesus Christ. But the truth has never changed. The truth has never lost its power. It still has the reality of freedom from sin, made free, saved from sin for the one who hears the truth and wants it and believes it. Man, believing it is so important. Believing it. Man, we are a product of what we believe. We are going to experience the truth only by believing it. It is so important when you hear the truth of the gospel, what you do with it. And you don't have to say a word. God knows the heart. It's like a person comes to a crossroads when they hear the truth of the gospel. And you're going to go one way or the other. You're going to reject it, or you're going to lay hold to it. Man, this is right. This is truth. This is what the Word of God says. This makes sense. Why would Christ be made flesh, the Creator of all things, be made flesh and go to the cross and die such a horrible death to leave his people in their sin? No, the Word of God says he delivered them. He saved them from their sin. He made an end of sin. John the Baptist introduced him and told what his mission is. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And listen, God does not deal with sin as merely being the things that a person does. That's the fruit on the tree. That is the evidence of what they are. That is the proof of what is inside the heart. God doesn't deal with the symptoms. He takes the disease out of the heart, and then all of the symptoms are gone. Jesus said, wash the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean also. Praise God. And we can't do that. We can't do that. The work of redemption is so great, we cannot do it. Yet if it's not done, we die in our sin and we're lost. But the deception is so widespread And it has been such a burden on my heart, just the deception that I see and how many ministers are damning souls and doing it in the name of Jesus, feeding them poison, giving them another gospel, another Jesus, and leaving them in their sin and telling them now you're saved. Most of it is for their own gratitude that they can go and boast in how many people they got saved when probably none of them were. It is possible to line up with a bunch of people and say a sinner's prayer and actually receive Christ. It is possible. God knows the heart. If that person wants to be free from sin, if they're wanting what Christ died to give them, God is faithful. Christ is faithful. When the Savior comes in, they're saved from sin. But Satan is quick to send someone to tell them we're all sinners. We're all going to sin every day. And if they believe that lie, sin will revive. Like I said, we're a product of what we believe. But most of the people that line up and say the prayer, or that's baptized in water, or led through a religious ordinance or form or ceremony and told, now you're saved, they are presented another gospel about another Jesus that is presented as you're saved from hell. Because the preacher will tell them, we're all sinners. You're still going to struggle with sin. So many souls are being damned through the church, through the ministries that are out there, when the truth is right here in the Word of God, right here in the King James Bible. It is so important to read a King James Bible, to study the King James. Satan's greatest victory in this last generation is to twist and pervert the Word of God, and the modern translations have completely destroyed the work of the cross, the finished work of the cross. It puts salvation and sanctification into a process. And it even says in the modern translations that you can be born of God as long as you don't habitually sin or practice sin. That is not the Word of God. That is not what was written. That's what has been changed and twisted and perverted and deceived many. I want you to hear the truth of the gospel that'll make you free. And then you have a choice. You can believe it based upon God said it, and you can walk in the light. You can walk in the victory. You can experience true salvation from sin. What most of the church today says is impossible. Nobody can be free from sin. That is what salvation is. And that is the very first step of our walk with God. There is not a walk with God for somebody who's struggling with sin. It doesn't matter how religious they are. It doesn't matter what prayer they've said. It doesn't matter how many times they've been baptized. If sin is still in the heart, they are lost. There is no fellowship with God. There is no fellowship with a sinner and God. That sin has to be removed. That sin nature is what Christ died on the cross to destroy. I do a prison ministry, and I was in one of the prisons earlier today. I did a service this morning, and I had only been talking about 5 minutes, and one man raised his hand, and before I could even acknowledge him or give him permission to ask his question, he just spoke out, and he said, everything you're saying contradicts the Word of God. Nobody's free from sin. We're all sinners. He said, the Word of God does not contradict itself. And everything you're saying is a contradiction to the Word of God. And I went over to him. I took my Bible and I said, you're saying the Word of God does not contradict itself. He said, yes, that's right. I said, amen. That's true. And I opened up my Bible and I laid it in front of him. I went to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. I said, let's read this together. I wanted him to see it. I said, this is a King James Bible, and that's the closest thing we have to what the apostles wrote. He said, okay. I said, verse 5, and you know, he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. This is the word of God. This is what God's word says. And you said it doesn't contradict itself. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, this man had just said we're all sinners, and basing the word of God upon that, because what I was preaching was he saves his people from their sin. He said that's contradicting the Bible. What happened is he probably never really read the Bible, and he's taken what he has heard. He might have been to church many times in the prisons, and just what he's heard from ministers, taking that as the word of God. When he hears a preacher say, we're all sinners as long as we're in this body, taking that as the word of God, believing that is the word of God. There is nowhere in the King James Bible that says a child of God is still a sinner. Satan has one verse that he loves. It's his favorite verse. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I'll tell you, a lot of preachers know that verse and they use that to try to say, well, see, we're all sinners. Man, the ones who use that to try to relate that to someone who's born of God, someone who is saved, to me, if they're a preacher, I feel sorry for them, because they're saying, I have no idea what the message is that John left us in 1 John. It is completely impossible to understand the message of 1 John, which is easy to understand if you read it. Just read it. It is easy to understand, and it's impossible to understand it and believe that a child of God is still a sinner. It is impossible. It's mind-boggling to even think that a minister, a pastor, a religious leader would use that scripture so far out of context. That scripture is sandwiched in between two others that explain it very well. In 1 John 1 and 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's the one saying, I don't need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me. I have no sin. That was the mindset of the Jews in that day. They kept the law of Moses, which did not deal with the condition of the heart. They did not view themselves as sinners, and they would not openly profess that I'm a sinner, because they knew that came with a death sentence. Man, you say I'm a sinner, like most people in the church today, oh, we're all sinners. The others would start gathering their stones. They knew sin came with a death sentence, but they thought it's not sin unless you do it. And if you do it, you'll be stoned to death, but as long as you don't break the law of Moses, you're not a sinner. I have no sin. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have had no sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. They cannot hide their sin now that I've spoken to them, because Jesus revealed sin is in the heart. If you even have it in the heart, if it's a desire in the heart, it is sin. It's a damning sin that'll condemn that soul on judgment day, the sin in the heart. It doesn't matter if it stays in or comes out. You know, Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if a man look upon a woman and desire her in his heart, he already has committed adultery. And they hated Jesus. They knew the prophecy of the Christ that he will make an end of sin, but they thought he's going to make an end of the sinners, the our enemies that rule over us, the Romans. They're the sinners. He's going to drive the Romans out of our land. He's going to claim his rightful throne in Jerusalem and make Israel the greatest nation in the world again. He's going to be our great and mighty earthly king. And they had all these great teachings and hopes and desires of when the Messiah comes. Everything is going to be better. He's going to save us from our enemies. They just did not realize the enemy was the sin nature that we were born with. Praise God. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is the one saying, I don't need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me. I'm not a sinner. I have not broke the law of Moses. And I don't even believe Jesus is our Messiah. But this is the one that this is speaking about. And the next verse says, if we confess our sins, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this scripture is sandwiched in between two scriptures that will explain it. But it cannot be talking about one who's born of God. Because in chapter 3, where I was reading, it is so clear. Well, the whole message of 1 John is so clear. But 1 John has 105 verses. One scripture cannot contradict the 104 other scriptures. And if you read that one scripture and say this is a child of God, they're still a sinner, then it contradicts the whole letter of 1 John. And like that man who did not believe the truth, he did say the word of God does not contradict itself. And I say, amen. Amen. When you believe the truth, everything fits together perfectly. If you see that one scripture in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, for what it was simply saying, the one who says, I don't need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me. I have no sin. If you can see it for exactly what it's saying, everything fits together perfectly. But back to 1 John chapter 3. Little children, let no man deceive you. Man, I am so burdened by the deception I see because so many souls are being damned. They're being destroyed. They're being led into eternity believing they're saved because of what they have been told. I have such a burden for the ones who have been deceived. And I can see the apostles and Jesus Christ himself had such a burden for those who were being deceived in their day. And it was always through religion. How much more 2,000 years later, as Satan has had 2,000 years to deceive the whole world through the realm of the church. That is how he works. He's a religious devil. How much more is the deception so widespread today? Jesus even identified the last generation, which we are living in, as there will be many false teachers, false prophets, false Christ, deceiving the very elect if possible. But little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as, in the same manner, even as he is righteous. Praise God. Jesus said the tree is known by its fruit. He that committeth sin is of the devil. The tree is known by its fruit. If the fruit is unclean, the root is unclean. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God. Man, this word that's used over and over through the Bible, especially in these last few verses I read, whosoever, it's a Greek word, pass, P-A-S, and the definition is all, any, every, the whole, whatsoever, whosoever, there can be no exceptions. All that is born of God, whosoever is born of God, does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, when it says his seed remaineth in him, the word seed in the Greek is his offspring. It's saying the same thing as just three verses earlier Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. His seed remaineth in him. His offspring abide in him. Praise God. That was the message Jesus preached. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And he warned what happens if those that are born of God do not abide in him. They will not bring forth fruit, and that branch is broken off and cast into the fire. See, the doctrine once saved, always saved is based upon you're saved from hell. And it's eternal life, and you can't lose it. Well, if sin is in the heart, you don't have eternal life. Christ is eternal life. And if Christ comes in, you have eternal life. But he don't come into a vessel that still has the sin nature. He don't share a vessel with sin. Praise God. But these scriptures are scriptures that you will almost never hear a preacher preach. You can go to a church your entire life and never hear a preacher even go to these scriptures. Now, if you get a modern translation of the Bible, this last verse that I read, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. 1 John 3:9. The modern translations, and this is why I'm warning you, you need a King James Version. The modern translations will say whosoever is born of God does not practice sin, or they do not habitually sin. That is not what the Apostle John wrote. As a matter of fact, the word commit, he wrote the Greek word poio, and it means not even one single act. Praise God. The sin is gone. The sinner is dead. Our old man is crucified with Christ. The body of sin is destroyed. The old man is dead. He does not even commit one single act. But to use the word practice or habitual is using a completely different word. It's not poio, it's prasso. That is not what John wrote. That is not the word of God. When you change the word of God, and you're not making it easier to understand, you're changing it to where it is saying contrary to what the word of God says. It is no longer the word of God, and it has deceived many. You need a King James Bible to see what the word of God says. Now, I'm going to go over to a passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul said in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And whenever you read the words Jesus Christ in the New Testament, it will benefit you to read it, to think of it in your mind as you read Jesus Christ as Jesus the Christ. The message the apostles preached is Jesus is the Christ. And it's important to understand that he was never called Jesus Christ during his whole 3.5 years of ministry. There was 3 times that somebody said, we believe you are the Christ, the one that should come into the world. And Jesus said, see that you tell no one. If he would have publicly professed to be the Christ, he would have never made it to the cross. They would have stoned him as a blasphemer. As a matter of fact, the day they crucified him, it was because he admitted publicly for the first time before Pilate that he was the Christ. And they sentenced him to death to be crucified. He was never called Jesus Christ. And Christ is not his last name. It's a title. It's like saying Joe Biden is the president. It's telling who he is. Jesus is the Christ. But that terminology, that phrase points to the prophecy of the Christ that all of the Jews knew because it gave a timeline and it told when he will appear. It's the prophecy in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, the prophecy of the Christ. It identifies him as the Messiah, the Prince, which is simply the Hebrew language for the Christ, the Son. It tells what his mission is, that he will finish the transgression and make an end of sins, that he will make reconciliation for iniquity. He will bring in everlasting righteousness. He will seal up the vision and the prophecy and anoint the Most Holy. Praise God. He was anointed the Most Holy the day he was baptized and began his ministry. The Spirit of God descended upon him in the bodily form as a dove. The Holy Ghost came upon him, and God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He was filled with the Holy Ghost and began his ministry. He was anointed the Most Holy and began his ministry. And his mission was to finish the transgression. The law of Moses was added because of transgression until the seed should come, which is Christ. That's in Galatians chapter 3. He will make an end of sin. Praise God. The very heart of his mission, the very purpose of his mission was to undo what happened in the Garden of Eden, to undo what the serpent did when he got Eve to eat of the forbidden tree, and then Adam disobeyed and he ate of it. They received the nature of the serpent. They received the sin nature. God lost his creation, his fellowship with his creation. Sin separated man from God. Christ came to make an end of sin, to take that sin out of the heart. That was his mission, and that's what he fulfilled at the cross by crucifying our old man of sin with him. But right here where Paul says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." This is in chapter 3. But the first two chapters, he's talking about that foundation. And in chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And again, I say you need a King James Bible. I've done a study on 34 modern translations, and every one of them, except the King James Bible, in this scripture, adds the word "being." But unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. Nobody is being saved. Nobody is in a process of being saved from sin. Now, it may take years for a person to come to that total surrender to the Lord. And if you imagine this, if you was in a dark room, somebody went out, shut the door, turned off the light, and you're in a dark room, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It might be a process of time for you to walk around in there, groping in the dark, feeling of the walls, looking for that light switch. It's a process of time. But when you find that light switch and you turn it on, the darkness is instantly gone, and that light, like the light of the glorious gospel, shines into the heart of the one who believes, and they're made free. Being saved from sin is not a process. People say, "Well, God's working on me." One man told me, "God is not finished with me yet concerning sin." I said, "Then he hasn't started." When Christ comes in, sin is gone because it's a finished work. He finished it at the cross. That was his last words before dying. "It is finished." Everything God sent Christ to do, he finished it at the cross. And the preaching of the cross is God's answer for sin. Our old man crucified with Christ. Our old man dies that death with Christ, in union with Christ by faith. But the old man is dead. "He that is dead is freed from sin." Romans 6 and 7. He that is dead, crucified with Christ, is freed from sin. Praise God. People say nobody can be free from sin. Well, what does God's word say? Those who believe it have the reality of it. Like I said, it's so important what you believe. We're a product of what we believe. Now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It's foolishness. They say nobody can be free from sin. That's foolishness. You're telling me that if I believe that my old man of sin, my sin nature, died with Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago, that it'll just vanish, it'll just be gone? Yes. They say that's foolishness. But you're going to have to believe it based upon God said it before you will have a new experience that will line up with the Word of God. People judge the truth by their experience. That man earlier today, I even told him that. I said, man, you've been judging the truth by your experience. You still struggle with sin and you believe you're saved, so you believe what you're told. We're all sinners. You're judging by your experience. But if our experience is different than the Word of God, we've got to let our experience be the lie. Let God's word be true. If God's word is not our source of truth, if this is not what we stand upon, we have nothing. We have nothing at all. And we can be blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and we will die in our sin because we've let our experience be our source of truth. Or the church doctrine that we have been taught, we let that be our source of truth instead of getting a King James Bible and reading and believing the Word of God based upon God had said this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. That's foolishness. That does not make sense. That does not compute with the human understanding. But unto us which are saved, praise God. Paul said, I have laid the foundation, and there is no other foundation. And he's telling what that foundation is that he laid. The preaching of the cross. And unto us which believe it, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is the miracle of God. It is God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Praise God. The preaching of the cross. Verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The prudent is the one that's got to be able to understand how things work. And I thank God he didn't ask us to understand this. He asked us to believe it based upon he said it. God says over in Isaiah, my ways are far above your ways. My thoughts are far above your thoughts. We're not going to understand how God does what he does. He can speak things into existence. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Praise God. To believe the most foolish message ever preached. It's like God is saying you're going to have to believe an impossible thing and trust in me to do it based upon I said it. Based upon my word says it. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, when he said unto the Jews a stumbling block, he said, we preach Christ crucified. If he had said, We preach Jesus crucified. That wasn't a stumbling block to the Jews. They knew they crucified Jesus of Nazareth. They knew, and they could rejoice in that. They thought he was a blasphemer. That's why they crucified him. But Christ, they knew the prophecy of the Christ. They knew their Messiah was promised to come. They didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. So Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. They could not receive that. If they accepted that, then that meant we killed our Messiah. We killed the Son of God. They could not receive that. It was a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. The preaching of the cross to those who have to understand, how can this work? How can this be? It's foolishness. It's outside the realm of the human possibilities. But that's where God lives. That's where God moves. That's where God works. That's his realm. Praise God. Over here in the next chapter, it starts out chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, the word save means accept. Jesus, the Christ, and him crucified. Paul was saying, I'm determined. I have made up my mind not to know anything among you, not to preach anything else except Jesus is the Christ and him crucified. Man, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is that the Christ has come and Jesus is the Christ. That's taken the prophecy of the Christ and the crucifixion of Jesus and putting them together. This is how he did it. The prophecy of the Christ in Daniel 9, 24 through 27 tells exactly what his mission is, but it doesn't tell how he will do it. Putting the death, burial, and resurrection together with it is showing this is how he did it. And you could go to Psalms 22. David prophesied of the sufferings of Christ 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And he told it so clearly, it's like he was standing there watching it that day. You could take that Psalms 22 and present this is exactly what happened when they crucified Jesus. Christ must needs have suffered these things and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus who I preach unto you is the Christ. This is the message the apostles preached. They could go to Isaiah chapter 53, which tells the sufferings of Christ on the cross, and connect it with the prophecy of the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Praise God. Now I'm going to go over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 has so many powerful foundational truths of the gospel. It is amazing how many powerful scriptures there is in this chapter that tell exactly how God dealt with sin, how sin was destroyed. But the very first verse is one that every time I read it, I think of all the times I've heard people say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I hear religious leaders in the prison say that all the time. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And they feel spiritual saying it. And if they said, I was a sinner, but I'm saved by grace, man, I could rejoice with them. But with the way they use that, they're saying, I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. That God's grace has saved me from hell, but I'm still a sinner. And I say, everyone on this planet is one or the other. Everyone is either a sinner or they are saved by grace. But if you're saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. And if you are, you're not saved by grace. And Paul was already dealing with this heresy, this false doctrine that was flooding into the church in his day 2,000 years ago. You know, Paul said, as long as I am here, I'm going to withstand the false teachers. He says, but I know after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in, sparing not the flock. Remember that for the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn you day and night with tears. He said, they're going to flood in after my departure. He says, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to withstand them. And that's what he was doing. Praise God. Praise God. That's what I am doing as I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm tearing down the false doctrines, because if you believe a lie that leaves you in your sin, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ in your sin and be lost forever. God has no choice but to cast sin into that eternal lake of fire where it will be quarantined for all of eternity. And if a person dies with sin still attached to their soul, that is their destiny. Over here in Romans chapter 6, Paul starts out the first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I ask you, can you take that as a no? God forbid. God does not even allow such a thing. There is no such creature as I'm just a sinner saved by grace. There is no such creature. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Praise God. You know, the modern church asks the question, how does a child of God stop sinning? Paul asked the question, how do they continue to sin? God forbid. It is impossible. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? And I'm going to tell you this. This is not talking about a water baptism. In a few verses, Paul is going to tell us what he's talking about here. Baptized into his death. It's a baptism by faith, believing what he's fixing to tell us. But a baptism into water is symbolic of the real thing. And it's like a public testimony, a public profession that I'm a Christian, I'm going to follow Jesus. And it can be a beautiful ceremony. Man, I'm not against water baptism at all. Unless it's presented as salvation, and then it's deadly. When a person is told, now you're saved because we baptized you, now you're saved, and they believe that, and the sin is still in their heart, that preacher, whoever it was that told them, has damned their soul. He has vaccinated them against salvation. Now they don't know they need a Savior. Now they're like that man that I told about that was in the prison this morning in the service. They think they're saved while they're continuing in sin and believe that's the word of God. Know you not? Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, listen, baptized into Jesus Christ, not into water, but into Jesus Christ, was baptized into his death. The only entrance into Christ is through his death. There is no other entrance. No man has entered into Jesus Christ any other way. There is nobody in Christ with sin still alive. The old man dies the death of the cross. Man, everything about our salvation is in union with Jesus the Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if, that little two-letter word, if, puts a condition on this, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, here's the baptism he's talking about. You know, Jesus said, if you know the truth will make you free. The Apostle Paul says, knowing this, this is that truth. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, it's a important thing to understand. The words might and should was not in the Greek text. It was added by the translators. And it actually takes away from the absolute of it. Just like the word might. It's telling the translators put it there to describe the reason why our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. It's the reason why. But we look at these words might and should as, well, it might be destroyed and it might not. No, the gospel is absolute. And if you read it without these two words, it makes more sense. It's more powerful. And it's what the Apostle Paul wrote. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin be destroyed, that henceforth we not serve sin. That word should was added to help it flow better. But our old man is crucified with him. It's not a process. It's not something that somebody's striving for in their future. A child of God is not striving to reach this point, to be crucified with Christ. It's his reality. It's the reality because it's a finished work. Our old man is crucified with him. Man, it happened 2,000 years ago. But when we believe it and receive it, it becomes our reality. And it's a finished work. Our old man speaks of the sin nature that we were born with. The new man always speaks of Christ in us. But they do not share a vessel. The new man and the old man do not live in the same vessel. This is what most of modern religion teaches today, that there's a warfare going on inside, and you know, there's the sin nature and the Spirit of God battling against each other. That is not according to the Scriptures. That is not possible. There is no such creature as Christ living in a vessel with the sin nature still there. Our old man, the sin nature that we inherited through Adam's transgression, is crucified with Christ. Listen, God's answer for sin is not, you got to try harder, you got to do better. That's Satan's answer. That's the answer of the religious devil who wants to deceive you, thinking if you can stop doing all of these outward things that we think of as sin, that we know is sin, if you can stop doing them, then you're good. That's not salvation. That's just picking the bad fruit off of a bad tree. John the Baptist said, now is the axe laid at the root of the tree. Praise God. God destroys the whole body of sin. And that word body means the whole thing. You know, an ocean is a body of water. If you walked out there on the beach and you had a 5-gallon bucket and you dipped up a big old bucket full of that water, you would have ocean water in that bucket, but you wouldn't have the body of water. There's no way you could contain it. The body of sin speaks of the whole thing. The body of sin is destroyed. Now look at the next verse. He that is dead is freed from sin. The modern church says nobody's free from sin. What does God's word say? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin be destroyed, that henceforth, from this point forward, we do not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Praise God. Those who have to try to figure it out, man, how can this work? They say that's foolishness. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. They'll perish. They'll die in their sin because they say that's foolishness. That's not possible. But if our belief is not based upon the word of God, we have nothing. We have nothing to trust in. We have nothing to stand upon. Now, I struggled with sin for 13 years going to church, trying to be a child of God, struggling with alcohol, drugs, and pornography, and failing over and over and over, backsliding and coming back, backsliding and coming back for 13 years. I was a religious sinner trying to be a child of God. And most preachers today would say, well, that's just the normal Christian walk. That's Romans 7. That's the normal Christian walk. The Romans 7. Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. That I don't want to do is what I do. That chapter has been so misused and deceived multitudes. Man, that is Paul giving his testimony. He didn't struggle with alcohol, drugs, and pornography. Man, Paul said, according to the law of Moses, he was blameless. He viewed himself as righteous above others, above the other Pharisees. He's telling in Romans 7, two great revelations he came to that brought him to that broken and contrite spirit, that brought him to that cry, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The last verse of Romans 7. The two great revelations he came to about himself that devastated him was first that he was a sinner, that sin was in the heart, that it didn't matter if it was committed outwardly, if it was in the heart, it was sin. And that devastated him just like it would any other Jew of that day. The second great revelation that he came to was not only he was a sinner, he was a slave to sin. It was in control. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he that commits sin is a servant to sin. They're a slave to sin. Jesus said, but if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. But I struggled and failed, backslide and come back for 13 years. And then 13 years ago, I got truly saved. Praise God. And in a moment of time, it was all gone. Praise God. That's what salvation is. People have told me, well, you're just one of those that was radically saved. I say, amen. That's what salvation is. It's a radical salvation. It's the power of God. And if there wasn't a radical transformation and it's all gone, God didn't do it. If sin is still in the heart, God didn't do it. The salvation of God is a complete transformation. The old man is dead. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, and again, that speaks of all that are in Christ, if any man be in Christ. Remember I said the only entrance into Christ is through his death. There is no other entrance. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is passed away. That's the language of death. If you hear somebody say, hey, did you hear about old Mr. Johnson down the road? He passed away. You know what that means. It's the language of death. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the scripture says the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's true. That's true. But the word things was not in the original Greek text. It's not speaking about things. It's speaking about people, the creature. The creature is people. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old creature is passed away. He's dead. And behold, all are become new, and all are of God. Anyone who is in Christ, he's born of God. That's how he got there. Now, our salvation is in union with Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. When they crucified the Creator, the Word that was made flesh, when they crucified the Creator, they crucified our old man, that original creation that was polluted with sin. Only the Creator could die, and that original creation would die with him. When they crucified the Christ, they crucified our old man of sin in union with him. We receive it by faith, by believing God. When they placed him in that tomb, they placed our old man of sin in that tomb with him dead. He that is dead is freed from sin. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, it is in union with Christ by faith. But when God raised him from the dead, we came out of that tomb with him, a new creature, born of God. Praise God, born again, born of God. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say you must be born again." We were all born sinners. That first birth, that natural birth into this world, requires a second birth. Because what we were born as cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There must be a new birth. And with that new birth comes a death of the old. I tell the men in prison all the time, nobody is going to spend eternity in a lake of fire for something that they did. But there will be untold multitudes spending eternity in a lake of fire because of what they were. We were born with a death sentence on our head. That old man must die. And Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That word deny means you utterly reject yourself, the old man of sin. You become your own judge and jury. You judge yourself a sinner worthy of death. You condemn your own self. He needs to die. And you sentence him to death. Jesus said, "Now, take up your cross and follow me." We're going to Calvary. We're going to the place of death. And he crucified our old man of sin with him. If that's good news to you, that you can be free from sin, you can have it. The only one that can stop you from receiving it is you. And the only way Satan can stop you is by you believing his lie. To receive true salvation, you must believe the truth. We're a product of what we believe. Let go of the lie and lay hold of the truth. Praise God. It's a glorious salvation. It's the glorious liberty of the children of God. For everyone who's telling you this truth of the gospel, that's what salvation is, freedom from sin. That when Christ comes in, your sin is gone. You're free from sin. For everyone telling you this, there will be tens of thousands of preachers ready to shout in your ear, "We're all sinners." But I'll tell you, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Read a King James Bible. Believe it for exactly what it says. And we've went through many of the scriptures in this message. This is the Word of God. This is what God's Word says. "And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." You don't need a preacher to lead you through a prayer or to baptize you in water. You need to believe the truth and want it with all your heart and rejoice in what Christ did for you at the cross. Surrender to him and receive it. You don't need a preacher to do anything for you except tell you the truth. And then you take this truth to the Lord. You spend time with the Lord. If you believe the truth and you become a seeker, you will go free. Praise God. God bless you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.